Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Vagabond Dilemma, featuring the Italian co-host Rudy and, well, me, Henry. On today's episode, we have quite a variety of topics, including vengeful Italians, a murder plot, and perhaps some happy little accidents as we enter Rudy's dream episode, disguised as a therapy session. Have fun, everyone.
You know what that song is by whom?
I'm familiar with it, but I don't know who or what or why.
Remember
or
the
when.
One that I told you that's the Italian version of ABBA?
No. Yes.
Exactly. It's a song. They sing that song too.
Well, sheesh.
It's fucking nice. I'm putting it in the intro.
Sure. No, it's my intro. What do you mean you're putting it in?
No, as in like when I say hi right now. By the way, I don't think we introduced our podcast last episode.
Whoops-a-doodles.
Indeed. But today, right. Today, T-minus 9 episodes, and today I will do it again, because there's not enough time, and I'm sick and tired of you stopping me. And as
I realize that we haven't announced that yet, right? Sorry to interrupt.
I'm sorry, but you think we haven't. I think you have a surprise waiting for you when you start editing your episode.
Oh, you are such a fucking little cringe, man. Have you ever considered that?
Bro, you allowed me to when we reached the last 10 episodes.
That's crazy, though, because I'm going to edit that out, so now you're going to look like the weirdo.
No, but I made such a speech where I was like...
Yeah, baby, you have a...
Look at Henry turning into an ape. I will add chimpanzee noises.
Sure. Here, I'll give you some to sample.
Oh my god, that's a gorilla. Okay, stop doing that, please. Don't ruin my episode, because what I was getting at is... Today, yeah, that's it. It's all Italy. It's all Italy. We're going to Italy and we're staying there and we love Italians. We freaking adore them. We worship them. And there's a couple that I could probably not, you know, couldn't care less about. But,
okay.
But in reality, as a country, what a place to be.
Meh. Meh.
I mean, wouldn't you want a villa in Sicily?
No.
By the seaside?
Not really.
What? Who hurt you?
Sorry that I don't like Italy.
You don't like anything that's fun.
I like plenty of things that are fun.
Name me three.
Well, King, I'm glad you segued to this for me, because as I have teased last episode... I wanted to talk about something.
Oh, for
and
fuck's
that
sake!
Is Payday 2, speaking of things I
love. Kill like. Me now.
Today, the last heist of the game came out, and as it's a game that's close to my heart, it's... I was happy it was a good heist. I'm happy the chapter is closed, and you want to know what the topic of the final mission was, Rudy, that really sealed the deal for me, that really made it sure that I know it was a good game, a good lifespan? You know what really sealed the deal for me, Rudy? We robbed oil. Big oil, might I add. So,
but
just
wait,
saying.
Aren't you for big oil? Isn't that the lore?
Yes, and that's why I want that in my stomach.
I am
you get it?
So confused.
I steal the oil because I want it, Rudy. It's my oil. Yeah, for dinner, breakfast, and lunch.
So... I choose to leave this topic here.
That's fine, that's all I had to say.
Good. Henry's parents, if you listen to this episode, I think, you know, sign him up for something. I don't even know what this kind of implies, but sign up for something.
Alright. I sign up for a cooking class.
Oh,
actually, I sign up for an executive director position at Shell.
Sure. Anyhow, oh, here's something that is a legacy left to me by somebody I call nuisance. And it's also a nuisance that he left me with. He asked me a riddle, to which he himself didn't know the answer. I also don't know the answer. Somebody who also didn't know the answer looked up the answer without telling me or him. And with knowing the answer, you know what he told us? I don't get it. So, I will tell you and our dear listeners the riddle.
Okay.
And you people go and suffer as I have for a sleepless night. So the riddle is, imagine a T-junction. You go up to the T-junction. One way is hell, the other way is heaven. You don't know which is which, but you have a preference. Make up your own preference to which one you want to go, right? Sure. In the middle of the T-junction is a house in which, I mean, he in the riddle told me there's two little brothers living, but honestly, any two entities, the two people live in that house.
Okay.
One of them only tells the truth, the other one only lies. What would you ask them to get to where you want is the riddle. How would you get to the place you want to go? You don't know who's going to answer. You only get one question and only one answer. And I'm going to now move on so we actually get into the episode, because
if you only get one answer,
yes, there's no
then way does that mean you only ask one of them? Or you ask one question to them collectively?
Only one of them answers the door. You don't know who is who. You don't know which one answers.
Right.
Yes. So it's either the one who always lies or the one who always tells the truth.
Right.
Okay. And this, for those who know the answer to this riddle, don't tell me. Because honestly, I'm kind of sentimental because Nuisance is leaving and this is the legacy he's going to leave. So maybe I don't know, want to know the answer. But anyhow, to what we logically got yesterday by our deduction is the answer must be something, or rather the question must be something to which both people would answer with the same answer. Kind of, I think that's where, like, the question has to be something along those lines. And obviously, if you want to know where would you go, the question has to have a direction implied within it. Because we were also thinking on the lines of, like, you could try and find out by asking a question to which you already know the answer to find out who is who. But then we're like, we only get one question. So, okay, you find out who is lying, who is not. But then how do you get to the place you want to be? So anyways, bread for thought. We are going moving.
Okay, pitch.
Okay, go on. There's no way you're going to get this. There's no fucking way.
You ask, is this a house and also is heaven to the left?
That's cheating. And then, we thought of that too yesterday.
How is that cheating? It's one question.
No, but Henry. But Henry.
I think your bum-ass riddle just didn't account for my massive intellect.
Yes, your intellect has its own gravity sometimes. And attracts more dumbassery.
Cheers to that.
Okay.
Alright, so our podcast. This is a Vagabond Dilemma. Welcome. We talk about an explorer. We discuss their history and then theorize about how they disappeared. I just figured I should introduce it before you, like, mention it, and then we don't do it anyway. So, really, now it's up to you.
Don't you give me attitude. You're the one who's supposed to do this. You're the one who forgot it last episode.
I really am not.
This is the man I'm working with, people. Always me gaslighting. This is a toxic relationship.
Rudy, be normal.
And every time I bring up these problems with him, every single time, just like any man, it's, oh, not this shit again. You're so emotional, Rudy. You're such a drama queen, Rudy.
That's so not true. That's just so not true.
Look at him. He's trying to get.
I am very reasonable and open to discussion.
This is exactly the only sole reason why we're ending the podcast.
You know, it's crazy, because you always act like a rat coward, and then when I treat you like a rat coward, you're like, why do you treat me like a rat coward? I don't deserve this. So, I really don't know what you want at that point.
Okay, this is therapy session for later.
Alright, go.
Today, we talk about the one and only, actually, once again, I will preface this, and I feel like I've said this about a lot of people that I've done on this episode, like on my episodes. However, once again, I looked up a name, read like one sentence of his like biography or whatever, and I was like, okay, might be interesting. And by exploring this person's lifetime, I was like, holy Jesus Christ, this is actually somebody who was pretty big name back in the day. But till this day, it just hasn't reached us with the knowledge of that person being a big name. It's just again one of those surprises. I'm like, holy shit, this is somebody important. And I'm going to say that name, and you probably haven't even heard of him. We are today talking about somebody named Ettore Majorana.
Yep.
No idea, right?
No.
So did I have no idea. However, as I go through the story, you will find out we just haven't been educated properly. So, born August 5th, 1906, Catania, Italy. He was mathematically gifted and started university studies in Rome, in engineering, no less, in 1923, so he was approximately 17 years old, but switched to physics in 1928. His first papers dealt with problems in atomic spectroscopy. So the guy was super smart. And you know, there's a lot of smart people out there these days, and back then, you know, there's a couple of bunch, so why would she? So far, gifted, smart, but nothing special just yet. However, throughout the next decade, he wrote, or rather performed, many more scientific discoveries, and helped breach some scientific doors whose open policies today we take for granted.
What do you mean performed?
He was more known, he was the type of person who performed experiments rather than wrote about them.
Oh, okay.
I will later tie into the story how actually many papers he published in his lifetime. Where was I? Yeah, right. Unfortunately, a lot of his work was written in Italian, which at the time and the world's political state was left in certain obscurity for several decades.
Good. El Italy.
But these papers, or the work that he wrote, not like... We're mostly talking about notes here. For example, though, Majorana was the first person to interpret an experiment showing, at the time, unknown particle correctly. Namely, he proposed the idea of the existence of neutrons. There's electrons, there's protons, and he was the first one, by looking at a certain experiment that somebody else did, he was like, oh, well, there has to be another particle for this to be true. And he literally was like the first one to be like, yo, neutrons, this could be it. His colleague and mentor, Enrico Fermi, advised him to write a paper about it, but Majorana did not. And 1 year later, James Chadwick proved the existence of a neutron with another experiment and got a Nobel Prize for it.
I guess they really named it kind of on the nose, right? It's a new particle, so we call it neutron.
I think it was more from... I mean, I see the thought process, but I think in reality, it's because it's supposed to be a... What is it? A neutral particle.
Yes, I know.
Well, I'm just trying to find out if you're actually stupid or you're pretending, you know? It's good to know my bases.
Yeah, that wasn't obvious enough there?
No, you kind of sometimes are stupid, so it's kind of...
Go on, bitch. Talk. Say it.
No, I'm going to move on. It's fine.
Yeah, do it then. Go.
I will. I think I sense a bit of hostility here.
Watch your back, is all I'm gonna say.
Shit, well, let me... Don't see much of that. I just... You know what I see? My huge dump truck, that's what.
That's very uncharacteristic of you.
Honestly, woke up today, looked into the mirror, and I have a great ass.
Congrats, I guess. I'm happy
for
you.
Be happy for my ass!
I am. I just said I was.
Not everybody gets a great...
Move on, okay?
It's just... I'm so, like, sad sometimes that we still, like... We won't for this podcast, but, like, I really wish to do something where we could put, like, video on Spotify because now it supports it. Because, like, sometimes these expressions just get me way more than anything you say. My guy's sitting there, like, being like, holy fucking shit, when will this end? It's like every single time the same expression of like, fucking hell, not again.
Well, if we do a video podcast, you would have to put on your shirt, so.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a
and
tough
this
task
is the lore.
For you.
This is canon event right now. We record this, and I'm fully mansplaining on Henry, camera on, fully naked here all the time. That's why he's a bit flustered sometimes.
Not really. It's because you're a rat coward.
Okay. But anyways, Majorana never really sought credit for his work. Considering his discoveries, what's the word? Banal? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Right.
Or is it banal? I actually
That's
don't know
the thing.
Now.
I know the word, but I've never actually pronounced it out loud. Well, it's,
right.
It's actually anal, but with a B in front of it.
It's B-anal.
Yes. And yeah, and that is the main reason behind him only writing 9 papers in his lifetime. Like, scientific papers. He only published actual 9 scientific articles. The rest was just, you know, his own scribbles and notebooks and whatnot.
Right.
And for somebody with, like, scientific, like, big discoveries, that's not a lot.
I mean, it sounds like he just liked discovering and it was like, fuck it, I don't care about actually publishing this shit.
Yes. Further on, he worked with such personalities as Werner Heisenberg and even Niels Bohr, who are prominent scientists of the time. In the fall of 1933, he returned to Rome in poor health, having developed acute gastritis in Germany and suffering from nervous exhaustion. He became reclusive and harsh in his dealings with people, even his mother, with whom he shared a warm relationship prior to this. Ettore became a hermit for 4 full years. Basically, you know, he did the corona thingy without corona being there. And during these years, he mainly worked in the fields of geophysics, electrical engineering, mathematics, and relativity. At the age of 32, he became a full professor of theoretical physics at the University of Naples.
Okay.
And I didn't go into the details because they're very specific and I don't know if everybody finds it cool as I do. But apparently this person with his discoveries and experiments is actually one of the main people who laid the basis for what we nowadays call quantum physics.
Okay, okay. So he was a little science boy?
And yeah, then decided, and the colleagues of the time actually described him as a genius on the same level as Einstein in his field.
Right.
But this is the thing, he never wrote like that many papers or anything, so at the time, it's only people who knew him thought this. He didn't become very popular or anything, he didn't get, because, I mean, at the time, I guess, because of the politics of the world, it, like, as an Italian, it was way, I guess, harder to become popular in science.
Okay. So it was just like, at that point, he was like, nah, let's sit inside for the next 4 years and then become a professor?
Yeah, I guess.
Alright. Fair enough.
Well, then moving on to the disappearance.
Woo!
Are you listening to me? Why are you looking out the window? Look at me.
I am listening.
My eyes are
open. You're so insufferable today. You know that? Sorry, not necessarily today,
just
but just
need,
this episode.
I just need some love, Henry, some attention.
God forbid I look out that window for 1 second, and this motherfucker is already complaining.
Oh, this is my favorite ongoing joke. You have yours that you piss me off with, and I have mine, Henry. And we love each other for it, don't we?
Sure. Yeah, I guess.
Oh my God.
That yawn, by the way, was a signal to move the fuck on, alright? Keep it going. Keep it running, bud.
Okay, with energy. Majorana had withdrawn all of his money from his bank account prior to the trip I'm gonna talk about. Trip was from Naples to Palermo, where he bought a ticket on the 25th of March, 1938, for a boat trip to return to Naples from Palermo. However, he disappeared in unknown circumstances. He was seen boarding the boat, but not exiting it. And to get more proper on this, on the day of disappearance, he also wrote this to his friend and colleague. And let me pull up the letter, because I was not going to copy-paste it, because it's way too much. And what did the letter say? Dear Corelli, I made a decision that has become unavoidable. There isn't a bit of selfishness in it, but I realize what trouble my sudden disappearance will cause you and the students. For this, as well, I beg you forgiveness, but especially for betraying the trust, the sincere friendship, and the sympathy you gave me over the past months. I ask you to remember me and to all those I learned to know and appreciate in your institute, especially SQT. I will keep a fond memory of them all, at least until 11 p.m. tonight, possibly later too. Signed, E. Majorana. And so, what happened to him, Henry?
Well, I know exactly where the water flowed. So, he boarded the ship, right? He was a little science boy, like you said. Liked science is what? Sorry, is that what you said? He liked science? He was a little bit of a scientific guy? You liked the science?
And
he liked finding out?
That was the best example he could have given for his favorite joke to piss me off. Every single time I talk with him. This is just an issue episode. This is my Italian has nothing to do with this. This is just an issue episode. It was about Italians, and now I made it about you. You little rat. Italians, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. My attention was divided.
You shouldn't be. Italians don't deserve anything.
You deserve better, Italians. Honestly, you deserve better.
No, you don't. I'm sorry.
You deserve, well, in better, I mean more of me.
You know what? Yeah, you do deserve that.
You switch your allegiances rather quickly today.
Anyway, you said he was a little science
shit.
Boy.
I'm wet.
Now you spilled something. This is something, huh?
Go on, King.
Okay, so he wanted to conduct an experiment on the boat, and he knew there was no turning back, so he got his money, you know, he sent cheers, that kind of stuff to his buds. And what he did is he sat on the boat and he was like, I discovered that, what was it, neutrons, right, is the name?
Huh? Neutrons, yes.
Neutrons, yeah. So it was like, for this experiment, I will become a neutron of myself. So what he did, right, is he just sat down in a corner and just didn't move. He sat perfectly still. And
for 4 years.
As you would have it, he just blended in with his surroundings. Nobody saw him move. Nobody suspected a thing. He just stayed still. And thus, he was never seen leaving the boat because to this day, he is still there.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
He's still on the ship. He's like the... Oh, you... Okay, for those who get the reference, and it's a pretty fucking known reference, there's honestly only one person in the world who doesn't get this reference, and he's sitting right there in the camera on the other end. It's that guy from Pirates of the Caribbean who is literally like, he's been on the ship for so long, he's kind of like a coral boy, and he's like part of the ship, like he's actually like in the wall, and then somebody talks to him, he's like, comes out of the wall.
Exactly.
Part of the crew, part of the ship, part of the crew, part of the ship.
That's exactly what he's like. He's just there, and he is still conscious because he moved so little that he has expended zero energy. Therefore, does not need sustenance. He does not need to go to
the
bathroom.
The equilibrium, the universal state of balance.
Exactly. And he just sits there and he's like, I can't wait for them to discover me someday. But he knows it won't ever happen because he's in true neutrality.
Well, that's all fine. It's a swell theory.
Well, thank you.
But I know exactly what happened.
What happened?
So listen. My boy, he was a bit, you know, as I said, poor in health, gastritis, a bit of nervous exhaustion. And as somebody who has suffered from several problems with my nerves, I feel like, because of university mostly, it's not fun. And the way it usually happens is you become sensitive to so many things, right? That's how you have, basically, that's my nervous breakdowns. It feels like everything in the world, like your senses are just heightened. It's like, wah. So you know what happened?
Wah.
He was going from Palermo to Naples, right? And it's
right.
Rather, somewhat, if you look at the grand scale of Google Maps, It's rather close to the equator. And the world is spinning, doesn't it? Right? It's spinning, Henry. And here's a little bit of physics. Right? The world is spinning. And imagine if you are standing, like, very close to one of the poles. So imagine
right.
you being the dot on the planet, and the world is spinning, so you spin. But you spin slower, right? Because you're closer
right.
to the pole. And it spins
yeah.
around the pole. So the fastest, the highest speed you can get is if you would stand on the equator, right?
Right.
So he was close to the equator, and he, because of his nervous exhaustion, he really freaking felt the speed. He was sitting there, because like everybody's sitting there, you know, in a boat, rocking back and forth, reading a magazine, and he's there like, oh my god, like, you know, like light speed, basically, like, oh shit. And he's like, I can't stand this. And he became like so into it that he made his own body with his mind believe that he's actually traveling in light speed. And he became right. In such a translucent state. And that's what we call quantum physics. Because in quantum physics, everything is a probability theory and anything can happen. Literally anything right. You can imagine. So at some point, suddenly, he actually light speed traveled across the universe to another part of the universe. He saw marvels, he saw like black holes, he saw galaxies. And then suddenly he was faster than the galaxies or the universe expanding itself. And he got out of space. And he was launched. He has the multiverse theory. He got launched into another universe. He traveled. Right. And then he traveled and he basically traveled to the same time, different universe, and he met his alternative self.
Right.
And he was like, well, first of all, he kind of teleported and was like, shit, fuck, what? Because, you know, probably, you know, like, light speed travel and whatnot.
Right. Makes sense.
And then he was like, oh, shit, that's me. Hey, Ettore! And they became best buds. And that's the canon event of time travel. Because what happened... Because this is canon event. What in reality happens is like a chain reaction. So he did this. Somebody else from another multiverse, him, did this to this universe. And in reality, in that 4-year gap, that's the time they all switched. From universe right. To universe. That's why nobody really saw him. Because he was light speed traveling. And so the Ettore that stepped on the boat is not the same Ettore that you saw before. Before the 4 years.
Right.
And then they've been doing it so much that on the boat he did it again. And it just, it was too much. So, the big, whoever created all the universes, the big universe of the universes itself was like, this dude's fucking everything up. It's a bug in the code. And so he fixed it. Ettore was no more.
He really was just snapped out of existence, quite
frankly.
You know,
I realized I made up a story that I, for the life of me, I would not be able to repeat what I just said. What if he... Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He was in geophysics, electrical engineering, mathematics, and relativity. You know, Italians are like they're emotional. Their passion for expressing their emotions is known worldwide. Why don't you just pissed off a student with his nonchalant attitude, and somebody just followed him the bone and killed him?
But he already knew this was happening.
Oh yeah.
Like he flew off the handle.
That's why he's apologizing for the one in the letter to the students.
Yeah. He flew off the handle in class and he was like, oh, I'm probably going to get murdered for this. Time to take out all my money, go on a boat, say, hey, Chiefs, I'm sorry, but I'm out, like, unfortunately. And then he died.
Or, he was so smart, but those with any geniuses, they're so smart in that one field, but so freaking stupid in another. And in this case, he just didn't know how bridges work. So he like, or rather like, he was seen boarding on the boat. But to board on the boat,
right.
There's like small ladder that they put up, right? Back in the day.
Right.
And while nobody was looking, he was like, oh, how the fuck do you do this? He took a step off the ladder, fell off in a ridge between the ship and the port. Just drowned that while everybody else was boarding the boat, so it was noisy, nobody noticed. So in
right.
reality, he never... Oh, wait. Fuck, the letter. I was wrong. The letter.
But did he not send the letter... Did he take it with him on the ship?
Oh, that's true. I don't know, actually.
I feel like he submitted it first.
Yeah.
And then 2 seconds later, he walked in between the small gap of the harbor and the boat and died.
Or, actually, you go.
Well, Rudy, I think there was a bit more sinister plot at play.
French.
You know, well, not quite. Italians.
Shit!
Unexpected turn. Now, so he discovered the neutrons, but he was too lazy to write a paper, so British guys got the credit, right?
Yes, I think.
So, the Italian government was like, that could have been us, you know. And not only could it not have had a fucking lame-ass name like neutrons, it could have been Italatrons, you know.
Italiano Tronos.
So, he boarded the boat, he sent an apology letter because he was going to flee the country, right? So, what he did while being chased by Big Italy. He boarded the boat, brought a disguise along with him, and then once he got to Naples... Whoa, who's that there on the boat? Oh my god, it's Albert Einstein. And Albert was acting a bit confused, like, I forgot how to speak German.
I forgot how to speak German.
Exactly. So they, like, because he was, like, such a famous guy, you know, it was like, alright, let's send this guy on his way, you know, back to Germany, and boom, the escape was made, and he lived the rest of his life as Albert Zweistein, instead of Einstein.
Oh my god, that's honestly a good pun. There's one hole in the plan, which is not your fault, it's just I didn't tell you, but when he was working with some people like Eisenberg, he was working in Germany, he actually was able to communicate and write in German.
There you go. But he pretended that he couldn't speak German for that
moment.
Oh, okay,
okay. So he pretended the disguise where he should have been able to, like, talk in German.
Exactly. He pretended to not know.
It's
he
a double whammy is what
date.
We call it in the business.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well...
That's that memory loss shit, you know?
Yeah. I know exactly what happened, actually, now that I think about it. It's all logical. You know who hates science? More than students? More than kids? More than ignorant people?
Professors.
No.
Italians.
Christians.
Alright, fair enough.
There was like no reaction. Henry just went, yep, checks out.
Yeah, I mean, it does check out.
So, they got a whiff. They got the, that's why, you see, Italy, a lot of monasteries, right?
Right.
So he was like, that's exactly why he didn't want to write a paper. He was like, holy shit, those nuns? They'll get my ass.
Right.
If I, like, publish this. So he didn't write about it. But then his colleague was like, oh, he's so smart. Yeah, he was, oh my god, he invented neutrons. Holy shit, that boy's smart. And there was a nun in that Met Gala just standing in the corner like, what did you just fucking say? Is this another science advancement? And so the nun was like, yo, I have to get this up to the, you know, to the chief.
Right.
So, and where does the chief live?
In the Vatican City.
Exactly. And where is Vatican City?
In Rome.
And where is Rome in Italy? And they didn't even have to go far. So, the Vatican gets a sniff that this boy, this Ettore, is trying to, once again, advanced science, and not only is just, you know, against God, against everything that Bible stands for, he's also Italian, which is like a stain on their reputation at the time. Like, how dare he? And so, a plot has been made. But, once Snafu, they didn't get his address, and he became conclusive for 4 years, so they're like, fuck. Bro, we don't know where he lives. Like, what the hell? Homie, this is not playing fair right now.
Right, as long as you don't come out, we can never find out your address.
Exactly.
Fucked up.
It's like, I mean, it's Italy. No bookkeeping, no nothing. It's like chaos, right? And
so true.
Yeah, and then he travels to Naples, but they have like a spy web going around Rome. And then one nun notices in a lonely evening. Oh shit. Look at that. I saw that boy boarding the ship. Look at him. He thinks he can get away from us. So the squadron was sent. The nuns. The nuns of Rome.
Just imagine like a ton of nuns with like guns boarding.
I just imagine them like we ride at dawn, ladies. Like gates, the gates drop down. Four horsemen, but like nuns with guns, like ride out into the horizon. And he knew what was happening. He took a risk and he knew what was happening. So he boarded the ship back, got the money out, and what it all boiled down to, they cornered him on the ship. At the front of the ship, he's standing there, watching the sunset, movie type of vibe, you know. And he's there like, I've been expecting you. He turns around, four nuns standing right there, looking at him. Guns pointed at him. Revolvers, AKs, you name it. They have it all. And they're like, how dare you bring the name of God into the circles of science. And he's there like...
But he didn't, though.
No, but that's the thing. Nuns don't understand that, right? And he's there like...
Right.
Don't ruin the vibe. I'm trying to pitch an epic scene.
Okay,
and
chill.
He's there like,
I was just supplementing.
You would never get it. And the nun is like, but you'll get it! And she pulls the Glock! But he has found out the secret of how to turn into a neutron! So he vanishes! And the nuns are like, oh no! It's an act of God! We've sinned! And so those nuns, in the shock of what they've done, to defy God itself, they renounce their vows, throw the nun, whatever, what is it called, the clothes or whatever, overboard.
Right.
And that faithful ride from Palermo to Naples, no, from Naples to Palermo, the other, whatever, which way they're going. Not only did it, because that was kind of a one-time, one-way deal, not only did we lose one of our greatest minds in science of the time, but the good news, the Pope lost his four horsemen. Because those nuns were never seen anymore. Because those nuns renounced their vows and those nuns became mercenaries.
Right.
Because they were like, well, shit, we can't be nuns anymore because we kind of defied and sinned on God. But at this point, if you sinned once, what does it matter? You go to hell anyway, so let's just go out with a bang. So they start killing people.
Heroic. Heroic.
That doesn't have to be heroic. Maybe they're vigilantes. You never know. Or maybe they
were the
original mafia.
No, I just think it's funny, like... I just think it's funny, like, oh... We have devoted our lives to being like this specific lifestyle, and then it's like, oh fuck, we sinned.
I mean,
once,
we can also have like,
let's
know,
ride.
Dynamic storylines. One of them became a mercenary. One of them actually started a flower shop. The other the third one became a whore, and the fourth one actually came back to work with the Pope.
No, that's not what I was saying. I was saying it's just funny that after one time that they sin, they're like, fuck it, now we get to do it always, and they just, I don't know.
Have you not seen
go out
that,
in a blaze of glory?
That, like Twitter meme. Where it's like somebody with like the caption "the devil" posts a tweet like, "I mean, if you're gonna arrive in hell for one sin, might as well arrive in style and do like sin 400 times." And then like a comment from like the god, "Yo, bro, what the fuck?"
I mean, it's not wrong.
I've been seeing so many of those. It's a little tangent, but do you know the Humpty Dumpty story?
I mean, he fell off a wall.
Yeah, but there's also, like, I don't know the full story, but there's something about where he asks the king for horsemen.
Yeah,
right?
To put him back together again.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I didn't know that, but I know that he asked for the horsemen, because the tweet I also saw recently was like... So, king and the council speaking, or rather the counselor of the king speaking, right? Comes up, and he's like, Humpty Dumpty's asking for horsemen. And the king just goes, who? Humpty Dumpty, the Eggman. And the king just goes, what the fuck? it's like you give realism to the story, right? As in like...
right.
Humpty Dumpty, this fucking Eggman, right? Because in the story, everybody's always like, in these kids' stories, it's always like, everybody's normal. But this one guy is like, I don't know, like an egg, right? Like a talking egg. And everybody thinks it's normal. But you give realism, it's like, Humpty Dumpty asks for horsemen. What? Humpty Dumpty Eggman. What the fuck?
Well, Rudy, would you like to resolute?
honestly, ironically, the favorite part of my prep for today. The resolution.
Okay. Go ahead.
Right. Several theories were put forward throughout the years, ranging from murder, suicide, emigration, and even life in a monastery. So we touched all of them, basically.
Well, we really did it, yeah.
However, at the time, no concrete evidence pointed to one particular story. And here it is, Henry. Because usually we end here, right? This the resolution right. is just this. However! Well, however.
Sheesh.
In March 2011, right? So basically a century later.
It's like yesterday.
Yeah. Italian media reported that the Rome attorney's office had announced an inquiry into the statement made by a witness about meeting Majorana in Buenos Aires in the years after World War II.
Oh no.
A specific oh, no. photo was analyzed, and on 4th of February 2015, the Rome attorney's office released a statement declaring that Majorana had been alive between 1955 and 1959, living in Valencia, Venezuela. And this was enough to establish the missing case closed on the grounds of this probably being an immigration by choice.
So, he did a little cheeky war crimes in World War II and then left to South America, as is the classic story, or what?
Yeah, war crimes. Where did you get that?
I mean, escaping to, like, South America is pretty infamous for, like...
Yeah, yeah, no. I feel like because of his backstory and whatnot, he just couldn't, like... Because he was nervous exhaustion because of whatever. I think it was mostly because of the field he was working in and stuff. I guess he was just one of those right. people who, like... Basically... Like, he was smart, he knew it, and he was working to put his mind on top of it almost every day. And yet he couldn't balance himself, so he has suffered nervous exhaustion for multiple years. And so at some point he was just like, nah, fuck it, I bail.
I think that has a different origin story. I think he was scared that if he sat still, he would become a neutron, so he just kept moving, and that exhausted him so much that he was like, time to go to Venezuela now.
But I honestly think it's pretty cool that we finally
so
have...
Sorry, what happened though? So he was on the board, he got on the ship, and
oh,
then...
Oh, that they never found
he
out.
He didn't get off? Like what, he just like hopped off, swam back to shore, and hopped on a different boat, like...
I don't know, because they never found that out, because this was like... I guess they didn't look into how he got off the boat or to a different boat or whatever, because they just found out, oh yeah, he had been alive, like 20 years after this alleged thing happened.
Yeah. Well, oh well, I guess.
I mean, finally we have somebody who didn't die.
I guess so.
It's pretty interesting.
I mean, technically he's still dead, right? So.
You never know, maybe he turned into a neutron.
I hope for my bro that he did.
My bro neutron. Peace out there.
Alright. Thank you everybody for listening. If you want to send us a message, please contact us at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com.
Or come to our office and in Rudy. Australia. Plug in address right here.
All right, I will. Oh, well, you will, since you're the editor now.
Sure.
And otherwise...
Well, I'm still plugging it.
Sure.
We can just wait.
We'll wait. I can wait.
Yeah.
God knows I don't have anywhere to be. It's a long ass address, by the way.
Yeah.
Which state? Where are we? Which state are we in?
I think it's done.
Yeah, but which state?
That one.
Nice.
We plugged in.
All right, well,
it's fine. It's fine.
All right. Cheers. Come meet us in Australia if you're up for it. And otherwise, Rudy's Instagram is a happy alternative to that.
Yes. It's, you know, I tried to be edgy as a kid, so I thought zero, the equilibrium state of anything, and I'll put six of them in my caption. So obviously, the caption on Instagram is 000RUDYS000. Three zeros, Rudy's three zeros. Please come and appreciate the art, the passion, and the flame I put on Instagram.
This was the origin story I never knew that I needed. this makes it so much funnier.
It's probably not even true.
Well, fuck you then. And if you want to leave a similar message to that to Rudy, please feel free to use the Spotify questionnaire and write something like that.
Only that's costs it. You thank five you everybody. American dollars, but that's fine. We take donations.
Well, yeah, but you have to hand deliver it in Australia.
Yeah, exactly.
Alright, cheers to that, everybody. Good night.
Cash and the money.